Okay, this evening we're going to take a look at a very famous passage in Sefer Yeshayahu, chapter 52, verse 12 through 53, 52:13 through 52:12, 53:12, and it's one unit. And it is part of the Eved Hashem cycle. It's part of the cycle of Nevuot that we've seen from the beginning of chapter 40 that speak of the servant of the Lord. So if we go back, for example, just to put them all into context a little bit, and we go to, I'm sorry, do go back to this. If we go to Perek Membet. So we went to Perek Membet. Let me make this a little bit okay. Let me make this smaller. Make this here. Do that. Get smaller. Okay. That's life. So, let me move that over here. Oh, okay. So if you look, in chapter 42, so the Navi talks about Hein Avdi et Mochbo. This is the servant I will support. Bechiri Ratzta Nafshi, the one who I have chosen that my soul desires. Natati ruchi alav mishpat lagoyim yotzi. I've given him my spirit. He will bring forth justice, mishpat. He'll judge the goyim. Lo yitzak v'lo yisa. He's going to be very calm. Lo yashmiya b'chutz kolo. Kaner ratzutz lo yishbor. Upishta keha lo yichabena. La'emet yotzi mishpat. Lo yichev v'lo yarutz. He's not going to run. Ad yasim baretz mishpat ula toroto iyim yachelu. Even the farthest reaches are going to want to hear his, and they're going to desire his Torah, his teaching. So this is the first passage that we often associate. The next passage is in Perek Mem Tet, which we saw. In Perek Mem Tet, where Shim'u iyim elai, v'hakshivu le'umim merachok, Hashem mi beten kira'ani, mi me'ei imi hizkir shemi. God has, listen, all the islands in the furthest places in the world. Listen, all these countries. God has called me from the beten, from the very outset of my creation. Mime'ei imi hizkir shemi. Vayomer li, avdi ata, Yisrael, asher becha et pa'ar. You are my servant, asher becha et pa'ar. Va'ani amarti larik yagati, l'tov v'hevel kolchi chiliti. I felt like I did, all my work was for naught. Achein mishpati et Hashem ufulati et Elokai, but my justice is with God, and whatever I did is with God. Ata amar Hashem yotzri mi beten le'eved lo. God who created me from the womb. So once again here, you have the Avdi. In the next Perek, in Perek Mem, you also have the sense of Kadosh Baruch Hu has called Hashem Natan Li Lashon Limudim. God has given me the power of speech, Ladat La'ut Et Ya'ev, to be able to revive those who are tired. Ya'ir Baboker Yaboker, Ya'ir Li Ozen, Lishmo Kalimudim, Hashem Patach Li Ozen. And again, you have this person who's been, so to speak, chosen by God to speak, and this person undergoes some difficulties. Gevi natati lemakim ulchayai lamortim. Panai lo istarti mikli mot vara. I gave my back to those who hit me, and I gave my cheek to those who want to pull my beard, take out my beard. Panai lo istarti. I didn't turn away mikli mot varok from embarrassment and from spit. Vashem ya'azor li, but God helps me. Karov matzdiki, mi yariv li, etc. Mi bachem yirei Hashem, shomea bikol avdo, who listens to the voice of his eved. Asher halach chashechim. Ve'inoga yiftach b'shem Hashem v'yishen. So we have here these three passages, which are generally known as the servant songs, but they're very short. But they mention the Eved. Now, who exactly is this Eved? We've been dancing around this question. And what's interesting is that before even we get to tonight's chapter, we have a plethora of opinions from the earliest Targumim to the most recent Parshanut. And it's all over the place. Who's this Eved? Does it refer to a specific individual like the Navi Yeshayahu? Is it referring to some other Navi in the past? Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirmiyahu in the future? If this is being written after the death of Yirmiyahu, so it could be referring back to Yirmiyahu. Is it referring to the Jewish people as a collective? Is it referring to part of the Jewish people, the part of the Jewish people that's been loyal to God even when other parts of the Jewish people were not loyal to God? Just to give, you know, a flavor, let's, again, I'm just at random, let's take a look at Rashi on these different chapters. And again, we'll notice that there's no consistency, even in, let's see if I can bring up Rashi on Sefer Yeshayahu. Rashi al Yeshayahu. So here's my Viki text of Rashi on Yeshayahu. Let me get my Zoom again. Get my Zoom and share. So if I get my Rashi on Yeshayahu, so let's see what he says in Perek Membet. Hein avdi et mochbo, hein avdi Yaakov, eno kimotchem, ki et mochbo, bichiri, Yisrael, karui bichiri, ki Yaakov bachar lo yav, omer, leman avdi Yaakov, Yisrael bechiri. So, is it a reference to Jacob or to the Jewish people? Is it a reference to, again, it's a little bit unclear, but it sounds like, again, it sounds like, you know, probably it's talking about Klal Yisrael in general. Let's continue. If we go to Yeshayahu Perek Memtet, let's see what Rashi says there. Rashi Perek Memtet. Rashi Perek Memtet. One second. So who's talking here? It's clear that he's talking about the Navi. Mi beten kraani, mishani ba beten altalufanava machshava liot shmi Yeshayahu lihinabe Yeshuot v'nechamot. When I was in the womb, God already had in mind to call me Isaiah, Lehinabe Yeshuot V'Nechamot, to bring forth and prophesy about redemptions and comforts. So in chapter 42, it's a reference to Israel. In chapter 49, it's a reference to, excuse me, it's a reference to Isaiah. Let's see what he does in chapter 50 when it talks about Avdo. Yeshayahu haya omer Hashem shlachani, God sent me. So he's talking about himself. Yeshayahu. He's talking about himself. And Gevina tati lemakim hu omer li Yeshayahu b'nei sarvanim hein. He said to me, God said to me, Isaiah, they are very, you know, they're oppositional. Almanat shelo tichas leim amarti lo, almanat kein. I'm willing to accept it. Okay? Let's do another, again, just a very famous, again, let's do somebody else. Let's do Radak, because we all love Radak, Rav David Kimchi. Again, just to give an example, Rav David Kimchi al Yeshayahu. Rav David Kimchi on Yeshayahu. Let's see if we have, again, Wikipedia. Rav David Kimchi, I guess maybe it's not in all Wikipedia. Let's see. We'll use Safaria. So we'll use Safaria. Okay, they want a donation. That's a great thing. People should give a donation to Safaria. It's a tremendous tool online. Hain Avdi, says Radak. Who is this Avdi in chapter 42? Zehu Melech HaMashiach. This refers to the Messiah, no less than the Messiah, not to Isaiah and not to Israel. Let's look back. If we go to chapter 49, so he's talking about Shimu iyim eilai v'akshivu leomim mibeten kira'ani, he called me. So, who's it talking about here? So, he says, listen up, you far away islands. Shimu iyim, perush yoshveim, ve'ela divrei hanavi al atzmo. These are the words of the prophet about himself. Va'amar shim'u v'hakshivu al ha'amim sheheim me'rachok ki'ilu heim etzlo lefi shehitnabei aleihem puranut ha'atidah lavo aleihem sharei hitnabei al Sancheirev melech Ashur kama pe'amim. He prophesied about all these nations in the past, and so now he's going to prophesy about other nations. But then, when we get to chapter 50, Radak, Rav David Kimchi, in his interpretation, let's see what he says. Hashem Elokim. So he's talking about himself, Alatzmo. He's talking about himself. Gevi Natati Lemakim. So he's talking about himself. So first he talks about Mashiach, then he talks about himself. Okay, so now, when we get back to home base, when we get back to home base, so we see that, and this I could show you in every single Parshan, when it comes to these three, the three out of the four songs of the Eved songs in the book of Isaiah, there is no unanimity, even internally. There is no consistency. We generally like to have consistency, but it may be that when it comes to the word Eved Hashem, can mean different things in different contexts. In the Bible, Eved Hashem is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one of the reasons why some of the Mefarshim, some of the commentaries identify wherever it says in Yeshayahu, Eved Hashem with Moshe Rabbeinu. Because in the Bible, in the Torah, Eved Hashem is Moshe. It's true, he's called Eved Hashem. But it doesn't necessarily mean that every other place in the Bible it's going to be, but you're trying to be consistent. What's to me striking is, again, most of the classical and modern commentaries, both Jewish, not Jewish, both religious and secular, did not feel bound, and I think rightly so, that the word Eved Hashem is used in a more broad context. Now, with this background, let's get now to Isaiah 52:53, and let's read it. What I would like to do, first of all, is just read it straight. Read the whole section. Many of the exact translations are in dispute, both in the ancient world as well as today. But the general thrust of much of it is pretty straightforward. I want to mention, again, I want to start with the discussion of who exactly is the Eved being discussed here, which was the main issue throughout Jewish history and Christian history and polemics. And again, just say something at the end about this chapter. We're not going to solve, so to speak, the dilemmas of this chapter, but we're going to at least put it on the table. So let's do this. And let's use a translation also, because, again, you may want to see how it'd be interesting to see how translators also translated. So let's go for, again, a popular translation. Let's do Sefaria on Yeshayahu. Sefaria, Isaiah. And maybe we'll, here and there, we'll look at other translations just to see what they do with it. So let's take a look at chapter, we'll start in 52. And we'll do it in Hebrew and English. So we got up to, remember last week, we did the section that becomes the template for what we call Kabbalat Shabbat for Lecha Dodi. Rav Shlomo Alkabetz used these beautiful psukim to create the beautiful poem of Lecha Dodi. Uri Uri, Livshi Bigdei Tifartech, Hit Na'arim E'afar Kumi, etc., etc. But we are up to, we're up to this part. We're up to, after the Bible tells us that God has redeemed the Jewish people with his holy Zroa Kadsho, Chasaf Hashem et Zroa Kadsho leinei kol agoyim, v'ra'u kol av se'aret et Yeshuat Hashem, suru suru tzu'u misham tamei al tigau, tzu'u mitocha, Hibaru nos'ei klei Hashem. Okay? Turn away. Don't touch anything that's ritually impure. You're coming back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a holy city. Don't. Oh, I didn't put it. I'm sorry. I didn't put it in the share. Somebody should have noted it to me. So after that, it ends off with this vision that even though many of the prophecies up until this point in the book of Isaiah have compared the future redemption to the redemption of Egypt, here we go one step further, that it's going not to be like Egypt. Because when we leave and we're told, remain pure, ki lo b'chipazon teitzau, you won't go out in haste, which is exactly the way we left Egypt, the chipazon, ubinusa lo teleichon, you won't have to run for your life. Ki holech lifnechem Hashem, God himself will lead you, ume'asafchem Elohei Yisrael. God is your, okay, even more, it won't be the anan, it won't be the cloud, it won't be the fire, it will be God himself who will take care of you from the front and the back. And now we have this passage. After this very uplifting passage, we have the passage called Hinei Yaskil Avdi. So let's just read. I'm going to first just read through the whole passage. You'll get a flavor of it. Then we'll come back and try to analyze at least some of it and what it. Okay, it's very clear, and you'll see this passage kind of divides itself into four units. It seems in the four units, the first unit, God is speaking, then the people are speaking, then there's a description of the suffering of this Eved, and that's why this is called the passage of the suffering servant. That's the way it's known throughout the literature. And finally, it ends with a haftacha. It starts with very positive. It mentions the negative and the difficulties, and it ends with the positive. Hine yaskil avdi, yarum v'nisa v'gavoa ma'od. My servant will be exalted. V'nisa v'gavoa ma'od. Which is a very, very great thing. In the book of Isaiah, if we go back to the book of Isaiah, let me see if, I don't know how this, yeah, how does this work? Yeah, if we go back, anyway, if you go back to the beginning of the book of Isaiah, let's just go to the source without translation. So in the very beginning of the book of Isaiah, there must be an easier way to get all the way back. Anyway, so if you go back to Perek Bet in the book of Isaiah, so if you go back to the book of Isaiah, Perek Bet, we have the famous passage there that God will make low all that which was once high, all the arrogant ones. V'nisgav Hashem levado bayomahu. It repeats it four times in chapter 2. V'nisgav Hashem levado bayomahu. God alone will be left standing, will be the one on high. And so here, by starting with that phrase, it's very, very evocative. Hinei yaskil avdi. My servant will be successful. If you remember Yehoshua, when he is first introduced and he gets the bracha, b'chol asher yeilech yaskil. Wherever he went, he was successful. Shlomo HaMelech. Yaskil. Yatzliach. Hinei yaskil avdi yarum v'nisa v'gava me'od. And just as in the past we were so appalled, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes what the many, and again, it's a machloket, does the many refer to the nations of the world? Do the many refer to the rest of Am Yisrael? Does the many refer to, who knows who it refers to? Kasher Shamulach HaRabim, just as many were appalled by you, because Kein Mishchat Me'ish Mar'ehu, because you were, from the word shachet, you were corrupted. You didn't even look human. You were so suffering and so attacked. V'to'arom ibnei Adam. Just as everyone who was appalled by him because you were beyond what human beings looked like. You were so mangled. In the future, kein yazeh goyim rabim alav. In the future, so many will be startled by him. Yikpitzu malachim piyem. Kings will close their mouth. Ki asher lo supar lehem ra'uv, asher lo shamu, hitbo'nanu. That which had never been told to them, they're going to see something that they never heard, never could imagine. And now it goes on in describing what exactly, again, the sense of wonder that the Eved, who was once so downtrodden and so destroyed, is now at this point in time uplifted. Who can believe what we heard? And that the hand of God is upon this guy. Again, this Uzroa Hashem, of course, connects us to the beginning, connects us to the last part right before we started. If you remember, when we projected the Geula, it said, Chasaf Hashem Zroa Kadsho. God had bared his holy arm, Leinei Kol HaGoyim. Remember, we say that in Ma'oz Tzur, Chasof Zroa Kodshecha. It's one of the passages of Maos Tzur. So here, we say that the Mi'amin L'shmo Teinu, who could believe what we've heard? Uzra Hashem Amini Glata. Look at who? The glory, the strength of God has been revealed. Vayal Kayonek Lefanav Chashor Shmeretz Tzia. He's grown like a little Yonek, like a sapling before God. The chashoresh me'eretz tzia, like a root that's coming out of arid ground. It's a good translation. Now remember, this is a very evocative phrase, because the last time we had the word shoresh in the book of Isaiah, the word shoresh reminds us of chapter 11. V'yatzachoter migeza yishai, and a root will sprout forth. V'yatzachoter migeza yishai, I'm sorry, a sprout will sprout forth from the trunk of ish. V'shoresh misharashav yifreh, that the roots will come out. And here you have the similar language. V'yalkei yonek lefanav hachashorsh, lo toar lo, which is so strange to us because he had no form. Lo, no glory. He had nothing. Nobody thought that he would ever turn into anything. And now he's like a beautiful sapling. This person, or this entity, nivzev chadal ishim. Again, is it one person? Is it a group of people? Is it Am Yisrael? Who is it talking about? Unclear. We don't know. Nivzev chadal ishim. He had been despised and he was shunned. Ish machovot v'yadua choli. He was a person who suffered. He had all kinds of diseases. Uchmaster panim imenu nivzev v'lo chashavanu. He was despised. Second time. He was despised and we didn't take care. We didn't count him. Lo safarnu oto, as they would say in modern Hebrew. We didn't even take account of him. And now we come to the interesting psukim. Achrein chalayenu hu nasa. It turns out he bore our sicknesses. Umachovenu svalam. And he suffered our sufferings. What does that mean? Does it mean that, again, you can already see that it is very laden with all kinds of potential meaning. What does it mean? Achein chalayenu hu nasau machovenu svalam, va'anachnu chashavunu nagua mukei Elohim muneh, and we considered him that he was shunned by God, and he had been oppressed by God, and afflicted by God. Again, how do you understand this phrase? Two ways to understand it, or at least two ways. Achein chalayenu hu nasau, he bore. Turns out that he bore our sickness. He carried our sicknesses. And he bore our suffering. Or does it mean, the way some want to interpret it, it turns out that we afflicted him. Chalayenu hu nasa. He was so downtrodden, and he was so not a person who anybody cared for, that we had no trouble afflicting him because we said no one's going to care if we mess him up. Two ways to understand it. V'hu mecholal mipshainu. He was wounded because of our sins. Again, the same way. Two ways to understand it. Meduka me'avonoteinu. Crushed because of our iniquities. Again, is it that he bore our sins in some sort of vicarious fashion? Is that what it means? Or does it mean that we, in our wickedness, oppressed him? Musar shlomenu alav. He bore the chastisement that made us whole. Ubachaburaton yirpalanu. By his bruises we were healed. Again, does it mean that because he bore our sins, we came out healthy? Or does it mean that we thought that we, by, you know, hurting him, we would be okay? No one could touch us. Kulanu katzon ta'inu ishladar kopaninu v'Hashem ifgiya bo'atavon kulanu. We just went our merry way, And God visited it upon him, Avon Kulanu. Again, does it mean vicarious punishment in some way? That he bore our sins? Or does it mean something along the lines of God punished him in some way that we perceived it as he was bearing our afflictions? Nigas, v'hu na'aneh, v'lo yiftach piv. He was constantly being nigas, bal yigos. He was constantly being attacked, and he didn't respond. Kasela tevach yuval. This is where that phrase comes from. He was led like sheep to the slaughter. Uchrachel ifnei gozer ne'alama, like the rachel, like the ewe, the sheep, before it gets sheared, doesn't open its mouth. Me'otzer mishpat lukach. He was taken away, me'otzer. He was taken away from jail, which is one of the reasons that some of the Mefarshim interpret this referring to Yirmiyahu. Remember, Yirmiyahu was the one who suffered the great fate of being in jail constantly and was constantly being under the threat. People wanted to kill him because of what he said. They saw him as a traitor because he constantly said Babylon is going to win, and you need to recognize that. Kinigzar me'eretz chayim mipesha ami negalamo. He was basically sentenced to death. Vayitenet rishaim kivro. They prepared his grave amongst the wicked, that ashir b'moto, and with the rich, which probably means, it's a reference to the pasuk in Eov, which talks about that in death, it doesn't matter who you're next to, whether you're the poor or the wicked or the rich, everybody's the same in death. Alo chamas asav lo mimah. He didn't do anything wrong, but he just suffered. V'Hashem chafetz dako hechalim tasim asham nafsho. God chose to crush him. If he made himself like a korban asham, yirez, if he was willing to accept that he would be like a sacrifice, then yirez zera yarich yamim v'chafetz Hashem biyado yatzliach. Then in the end, he will live long, and God will make sure that he will be successful. It starts with the success, the current success. It describes the suffering that he went through, the suffering servant. And it says, because he was willing to undergo this, he will be blessed. Yarich yamim v'chepetz Hashem biyado yatzliach. Me'amal nafsho yireh. Out of the suffering, he will see Yizba b'da'ato yatzdik tzadik avdi larabim va'avonotam hu yizbol. Out of his anguish, he'll see it. He shall enjoy everything. Avdi, my servant. It started with the servant. It ends with the term servant. Va'avonotam hu yizbol. And he bears their sins. Lachein achalek lo barabim. He will give him, I'll give him a lot of reward. Vet atzumim michalek shalal tachat asher hara lamavet nafsho vet poshim nimna, because he was willing to die on behalf of God. He was willing to be treated like the sinners, and he took upon himself all the sins of everybody else. Now again, you can see, and that's the end of the passage, you can see very well this passage is dynamite on many, many levels, especially we who've grown up in the Western culture. So once again, who is the Eved that's being discussed here, and what are we talking about? So what's fascinating is pre-Christianity, you find that there are traditions within our tradition who will say that this refers to the Messiah. That this refers to a Messiah who will suffer. It's not a reference to the Navi, and it's not a reference to Am Yisrael throughout history. But it's a reference to the Messiah. Let me see if I can find it for you. If you look, for example, in Targum Yonatan, the Eretz Yisrael Targum on Navi, which was written by Yonatan ben Uziel, Targum Yonatan al Yeshayahu, Perek Mem, I'm sorry, Perek Nun Bet. Let's see. Targum Yonatan al Yeshayahu. Let's see if we can find it. Chapter Nun Bet. Targum Yonatan Yeshayahu. Let's see. Oh, it's not, hasn't been created yet. At least on this one. Let me see if I can find it in a different thing. Targum Yonatan Yeshayahu. Oh, look at that. We have it in Safaria. Let's see. Let me go back to my Zoom. We'll share it with you. We have it in Safaria. So let's go to Targum Yonatan, chapter 52. Targum Yonatan, verse 13. Ha yatzliach avdi mishicha, yirum v'yizgei v'yitkof l'chada. Behold, my servant, the Messiah, shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled, and he shall be very strong. As the house of Israel anxiously hoped for him for many days, thus shall he scatter many nations. Before him kings shall keep silent. They shall put their hands upon their mouth, etc., etc. Who hath believed? Okay. Etc. Okay. He's like a branch. Now he totally, although he shall be in contempt, even though he's being treated with contempt, he shall cut off the glory of all the wicked. They shall be weak and wretched. Okay? And then again, notice here the attempt to move away from any notion of the suffering of the Mashiach vicariously is in any way, shape, or form to be interpreted as actually somehow atoning for the sins of others. Therefore, he shall pray for our sins. V'chein al chovana hu yib'ei, v'an yatana bidlei yishtavkun, and our acquit for his sake shall be forgiven. For we are considered crushed, smitten of the Lord. So it's not that somehow the Mashiach is going to suffer, even the Mashiach is going to suffer on behalf of our sins, but that he's going to pray for us, and he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, etc., because it's been, etc. It's a whole totally different reading of it. But what's striking to me is that here, Targum Yonatan, who lives pre-Jesus, okay, just a little bit before Jesus, and certainly before Christianity takes a stronghold within the, in, you know, becomes a major player on the world stage, Jewish tradition had no problem interpreting this entire perek as referring to the Messiah. And so when the Christians come upon this chapter, they're not just creating a new interpretation that it's referring to Jesus, that Jesus suffered for our sins, as you can understand, and as appears, this is not just a later Christian thing. If you read the New Testament, it appears 7-8 times in the New Testament. It appears in the book of Matthew, and it appears in the book of John, and the epistle of Peter, and all these various different passages in the Gospels and not in the Gospels of the New Testament. They clearly constantly quote, not constantly, but they quote this passage in Yeshayahu as a reference to Jesus and to what will happen to Jesus. And they certainly saw this perek as talking about that. But again, as I said, it's not something that came out of thin air. There is a Jewish tradition that existed prior that, you know, they could have built a piggyback on. What's interesting is that post post the rise of Christianity, you basically find that that disappears. That kind of parshanut within Jewish circles disappears. And even when it does appear, like, for example, in the great debate between Ramban and Pablo Cristiani, he takes great pains to show that, you know, the Messiah, even if it is talking about the Messiah, it doesn't fit with what you describe about the Messiah, because it talks about all kinds of things that didn't happen to Jesus. He's not buried. Jesus was never buried, etc., etc. All these kinds of interesting things. To give you other parshanut on this, just again to give you a flavor. So if we go back to, let's say, Rashi and Radak. So let's go back to Radak on Yeshayahu. So if we go back to Radak on Yeshayahu, Rav David Kimchi on Yeshayahu. So if we go to this section, and let me zoom and share. So when we go to Radak, Hinei Yaskil Avdi. So again, remember that in the earlier passages, first he said it was talking about the Messiah. Remember, in chapter 42, he was willing to entertain that it's talking about the Messiah. In chapter 49 and 50, it's talking about the Navi. Now, Hinei Yaskil Avdi, HaParasha Zot Nemra Al Galut Yisrael. It's talking about the people of Israel who are in exile. V'karauto Avdi Kemo Shamar V'atem Yisrael Avdi Yaakov Asher Becharticha Amar Hinei Avo Eit Shiatzliach Avdi. A time will come where my servant Israel will be successful. Yatzliach, he'll be successful, etc., etc. And again, it's interesting to me to see, just to take, again, I haven't looked at that in a while, but it would be interesting to see how he interprets, for example, this idea of Achein Chalayenu Hu Nasa Umachovenu Svalam. Okay? So this, of course, if you take it literally, was seen as problematic. Again, for the Christian church, it's not problematic at all. This becomes a central tenet within their theology of the idea of vicarious atonement, that one of the essential notions of Jesus is that he dies for our sins and that he takes upon himself. If you just have faith, you know, you are justified in faith, and you will be redeemed, and all your sins, original sin and everything else, is washed away in the passion, in the suffering of Jesus. Now, of course, number one, that was, you know, intolerable to the average Jew in the Middle Ages. Number two, first of all, the idea that this passage is talking about Jesus. Number two, the whole notion of vicarious punishment rubbed many Jews the wrong way, because there are many passages in the Bible that go against that. For example, and that's what Radak is referring to here, Achein Chayalenu, Hinei Katav Yechezkel Hanavi. Yechezkel makes a very big deal about the fact that there is no vicarious punishment. Ben lo yisa ba'avon ha'av, va'av lo yisa ba'avon ha'bein. Kol shekein ish echad b'ish acher, v'kol shekein umah b'umah acheret. So there's no such thing as vicarious punishment. One person can't take the punishment of somebody else, and not one nation can't suffer for another nation. Im kein ma'u chalayenu hu nasa. What does it mean? Exactly. And he says, ve'eno dome, you'll quote me that there are passages in the Bible, in the Torah, that seem to talk about vicarious punishment. Poked avon avot al banim, that God brings the sins of the fathers upon the sons, the punishment. The sins of the fathers on the sons. Ve'eno domeh ma'asha amar Yirmiyahu b'sefer kinot, avotenu chat'u, ve'einam, v'anachnu avotenu savalnu. our forefathers are long gone, and we're suffering because of their sins. And again, he quotes the classical rabbinic interpretation. This is when the children continue on the path of the forefathers. Kamo shamar, lisson ai, that God will punish his enemies. That those who continue, they will get a double portion because they continue to do that. Vizeshi omru ha'umot. So what is it talking here? This is what the nations of the world claim. It's not Jewish theology. Vizeshi omru ha'umot, achein chaleinu hu nasa v'adomim lazeh, hu divrei atzmam. Lo she Yisrael savlu avon ha'umot. It's not that in reality, the Jewish people vicariously are suffering on behalf of the whole world as a kind of suffering servant. Ela heim yachshavu ze b'da'atam. This is what they think is going on. Kasher yiru b'eita Yeshua ki emunah shechziku b'Yisrael hi ha'emet. Because at the end of days, they'll recognize that the belief system of the Jewish people was correct. According to their understanding, what was it because of? It was because they were a kapara for us. But that's not really the true theology. Again, it's a fascinating way to read this. He doesn't want to go in the direction in any way, shape, or form of accepting some sort of notion of vicarious punishment. On the other hand, you know, we do know that the Bible does have the notion of, for example, Seir la'azazel, the scapegoat. And the Bible there uses the term v'nasa alav avon beit Yisrael. And it will carry on it the avonot of Bnei Yisrael. Here too, in Yeshayahu, it talks about the term Nasa Avon, that the suffering servant carries the sin. So it sounds very similar to the Seir La'azazel. It speaks of the suffering servant as an asham, as a korban. So again, as I said at the beginning, I'm not here to resolve. These are irresolvable problems. I don't think there's a simple way to read this. I just think that we would like to believe that there's no notions within the tradition of any vicarious punishment. But, you know, sometimes there are echoes of vicarious punishment. And certainly, one can make distinctions between what human beings are allowed to do, like one, a court can't kill somebody for somebody else's sin, and what God, how God chooses to run God's world, which may, in certain instances, be different. So again, I'm just raising that problem. My final comment for tonight that I wanted to, again, as I said, there is a tremendous amount of literature on this chapter. There's an entire book called a collection of all the Jewish interpretations on chapter 53 in Isaiah. The big thick book of all the interpretations from the beginning of time till the early 1900s. If you want to look at it today, just to put it on the table, most scholars, both Jewish and Christian, both religious and not religious, the consensus in the scholarly world is that it's not talking about an individual, neither the Messiah, nor the prophet, nor somebody specific, but that it's talking about the people bichlal, the Jewish people bichlal, like the Radak. That's actually the dominant view today in how to read this entire chapter. And of course, Eliezer Berkowitz, if you've ever read the book Faith After the Holocaust, he has a whole discussion there about how Israel is my witness and Israel is the suffering servant in the history of the world. And he has a whole development of that notion there, if you want to look at it. my final point I just want to make tonight is that it's interesting that even if we identify the Eved with Am Yisrael, and this is a point I learned from my teacher, Rabbi Shalom Carmi, we still have to note that it's interesting that the Bible, in these chapters that we've been learning, chapter 40 through now, you know, it could have used the word Yisrael, or it could have used the word Sion. I mean, the fact is that there are other nevuot that we've read that don't use the word Eved Hashem when they're talking about Am Yisrael. And what it means is that there's an aspect of Am Yisrael that is Eved Hashem-like, and there are other aspects which are different. For example, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem Vashem Shrechani. Right? We read that nevuah, where Israel in that nevuah is compared to a woman who has been abandoned. She feels abandoned by her husband. And God says, would I forget, you know, can a woman forget her children? So it seems that there are certain times when the Navi wants to focus on Am Yisrael as the forlorn woman or the mother of children. And there are other times when he wants to talk about Am Yisrael as Yisrael, Israel, connecting back to Jacob. And there are other times when he wants to talk about Am Yisrael as Eved Hashem, which may emphasize more the suffering element. We saw it already hinted at in chapter 49 and 50. It wasn't as intense as what's happening in chapter 52, 53. But choosing the image, instead of just saying Am Yisrael or Tzion in this parak, using the term Eved Hashem is trying to focus the reader on a certain aspect of Am Yisrael's history, experience, connection, historical reality of how they experience the connection to God and the connection to history, etc. So again, that's just an important point to make. You know, what kind of language and metaphor you use is reflecting something about how you understand what's going on in the parak. Okay, Chavirim, I want to wish everybody a good week, a Shabbat Shalom. Tomorrow's going to be a very difficult day for Am Yisrael, unfortunately, with the return of the bodies of some of the hostages. And Hashem Yishmor, and may we come together in good times and not only in the negative and in the pain that we're going to experience tomorrow. Have a good night and Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.